What I love about Halloween is we get to bring out our alter egos. it's great fun. And okay, now how many did some costuming this Halloween? Okay, that's wonderful, letting yourself out. And I discovered that in reality I was the King of Hearts, and I know that because I'm married to the Queen of Hearts. Yeah. And if you'll remember Alice's experience, the Queen of Hearts has all the power. Okay. And she had this message for everybody. Off with their heads. Now, you know, Halloween lets us kind of touch some of those other parts of ourselves. For instance, little Kira took me out to show me the jack-o'-lanterns that had been carved, and they were just delightful. But there's also this skeleton hanging from the tree. Okay, now the truth is the skeleton has been hanging there for about a year, but today it's really appropriate. But Catherine decided we ought to call the tree trimming guy and have him come and take it down, and we haven't really heard from him in a year. So you see, in this Halloween stuff, we get into that kind of the dark side of ourselves a little bit. Now, I looked at could we go into Alice in Wonderland and all the symbols there, but the truth is when I look, those are symbols of part of the subconscious experience within the self rather than the archetypal experience that lets us see it in the spiritual sense. But amazingly enough, the great message there is off with their heads. Now, do you remember what happened? Okay, the Alice comes upon the guards who are cards, and they are threatened with off with their heads because they're painting the roses red. They put in white roses instead of red roses. Now, if you're the Queen of Hearts, you can't have that because it's not that nice white purity stuff that gets you into your heart. It's the red. It's the passion. It's the love. It's the caring. That's what takes us into the heart. And the truth is, most Sundays here, we're working with off with our heads, moving it down into this beautiful part of our consciousness. But let's go to another story. This one's a little older. It takes place about 13.7 billion years ago. Back before the universe as we know it existed. The scientists tell us that there was a point that they call singularity. Singularity, that there was a point of infinite density. And then that point of infinite density expanded. It's what we call the Big Bang. And it is still expanding. But as it expanded, that density began to take form. And it took the forms that we have seen in galaxies and solar systems and planets and moons. An amazing phenomena. And somewhere in that universe, kind of at the edge of one of those galaxies, there's this little solar system that's hanging out there with that place called Earth in it. And in this expansion, that is evolving the universe, it's quite possible that that little place called Earth is a part of that evolution. Now you see what happened on Earth. was there was the expression of life. Not only just life, but life that became sentient life, and then that had the capacity to reflect upon itself, self-awareness. And so that evolution is something that has been a part of our experience. But in that, we were able to develop these brilliant minds that we could look at the earth. We could look at the things around us and begin to gain knowledge. And so we began to find out the amazing processes of the laws that brought forth all of this experience. We were able to calculate back 13.7 billion years. And so we as this human race have been focused on the experience of all of this amazing stuff that has come into being through this evolution. But I believe that the evolution is changing. Now, we have been experiencing an expansion of knowledge of that, what that mind can perceive, in an amazing rate. I mean, you have in your smartphone more knowledge than existed 50 years ago. You can connect with that. Wow! But there's something else that's happening. There's another level of evolution that's taking place. And for that to happen, there has to be another faculty of awakened within the human being. The ability to perceive not the stuff, but the source. From that point of singularity from which it all came. To perceive the source. Now, there's a description of that shift of perception from the stuff to the source that I want to share with you. This comes from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain. When they were all alone, there he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, and there appeared Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. The experience called transfiguration. Now, what we understand when we look at this is the capacity to perceive. Now, I believe that the symbols that are there that were perceived were symbols of the divine. Moses is the symbol of law. These amazing laws that brought forth this universe from gravity to the chemistry laws, all these things that are part of what we discover, and we've been working on discovering the very laws of consciousness through which we create our experiences. And Elijah's that flow of spiritual energy into and creating within the individual life. And Jesus is that symbol of the divine as it becomes incarnate, intelligent, and expressing within the individual being. All qualities of the divine. So the shift goes from the world, this guy out there that they were seeing, Jesus, to the source, the divine presence. But there were particular parts that it's talked about, particular parts of you and I that have that capability. Peter, James, and John. Now, Peter is the symbol of the capacity of faith. It's that capacity that we have to perceive the divine presence within the creation. Peter. James is the capacity for wisdom. It's that spiritual faculty you have that lets us receive the awareness and the capable of understanding the spiritual and greater nature of that reality. And John is the symbol of love, that unifying, harmonizing power through which we experience our oneness. Now, these are symbolically there within the disciples, so they are immature parts of ourselves yet developing. And yet, that's part of our evolution, our development, to awaken and be able to perceive the source, not just the stuff. So what's that look like in real life? Why, I found an experience that helped me understand that shift of perception. There's a woman, her name is Karen, and Karen was the mother of a 16-year-old boy who lost his life. And so you have then a mother going through this very, very painful experience of her son's death. And Karen shares that it was a couple months after that occurrence. And she was, of course, still in the deep struggle with what was taking place within her when she had an experience in prayer. She says, "I asked God, why? I knew there would never be an answer to satisfy me." Have you ever done the why prayer? My experience is the answers aren't all that great. That it's really more a prayer of complaining. Why me? You know, basically, God, I already figured out you got it wrong. It shouldn't be this way. And yet there is love there in that. And there's hurt and pain that's being expressed in that prayer. But then she talks about a different experience. She made a shift to a different part of her being that then expressed itself in prayer. She says, "My very soul cried out, 'I need to know he's okay, God. Please, please show me that he's okay.' The words poured from my mouth, but even more from my spirit." So she's describing something different, isn't she? This is from that spiritual desire of her heart, that desire of a mother needing to know that her son is okay, pushing against all that stuff, that information that says, yes, there's life after death, no, there's not life after death, all that information, but a mother's love needing to know about her son. She said that she then sat quietly for a while and there was no answer, but she felt a little better. And she got in her car and she took an envelope of photographs that she had. Now, Karen's son's name was CJ. And CJ died when he was 16. Karen and her husband had divorced quite some time before that. And he had gone on, married again, and he and his new wife had a little four-year-old. Karen had gone on and married as well. So what she was doing was taking the pictures over to her ex-husband's family, and they had developed a beautiful relationship. She very much appreciated the woman that he'd married and this little boy. So they had a good relationship, and she wanted to share some of this that had been taking place, that had been captured in pictures with the father, with the ex-husband. So she takes this envelope, the picture, she gets in her car, and she drives over, and as she's pulling in, the ex-husband's wife is pulling out, and they roll down their windows and talk for a moment. She takes the pictures that she has and gives them to the wife of the ex-husband. And the wife says, "Oh, Karen, there's something that I really have felt a need to tell you." She said, "It's something about Stephen." Now, Stephen is the little 4-year-old baby they have. She said, "Stephen came to me today and said, I had a dream. And in that dream, CJ came to me and said, please tell my mother I'm okay." And so his mother was telling CJ's mother of that dream. It's a different kind of prayer when we shift to that spiritual connection. Because what we're seeking is not information, but understanding. And I know that that's what happened for Karen. Because of an experience on my journey. After the death of my wife, my first wife, I was asking the same question. And I was also doing the why prayer. An interesting thing, there were answers to that, but it took a long time until I had changed enough to receive them. But in response to that desire to know that someone you love is okay, there was a family that was babysitting my little daughter, who was just a year old. Now, the lady had a little boy who was also a year old, and we had met in a meditation group that we were in together. Now, she also had a little older boy that was about 5 or 6, and I had just met the boy for a moment to be in the house and drop off my daughter, but I had really no experience with him, and he had never seen my wife. He came in when they were picking up my little daughter and said something to his mother. And his mother turned to me and said that her son had been telling her about something. That in their house, he had been saying there was a woman. And he saw that woman and he was a little bothered because it felt a little strange. But the woman was nice, and he knew it was okay, but he was a little bothered, so he told his mother, and this had happened twice. And when he walked into our house, he had pointed to the picture of my wife and said, "That's the woman that was in our house." Wow. An answer, not of information. I'd studied, I'd had lots of information. Not only about life beyond death, but also about how good we are at fooling ourselves and creating illusions to avoid the discomfort of life. But what I gained from that little boy was understanding. When that came, in response to that prayer that took me to my source, when that was there, I understood that life is so much more than all the forms we touch. That form may be in it, but even death is just a form. And that life and being, and this presence and consciousness of who we are as a being is something that is not limited by all the form, that it unfolds and grows. I understood that divine presence in life in a way I had not before, as I know Karen did as well. What happens when we shift our awareness from the form the stuff of this amazing universe to the source of this amazing universe, then there is an understanding that takes place. Something very different from knowledge. And yeah, we get there through that experience that probably is described most creatively as off with their heads. Moving into that place of the heart, moving into that place of spiritual connection. There is a beautiful flow, a beautiful response to our beings in our need of the gift of understanding. And what I find is, after that, we see life differently. The good and the bad change. And what we find is, life is sacred. Not just the forms, but what life really is. And so our experiences of loss and hurt and tears are sacred, as is our laughter and our joy and the fun we experience. That the experience of discovery, of confusion, of loss, of connection and celebration and love, all is sacred. That it is all within this amazing presence that we call God. Shifting that attention, God is my source. I experience the sacredness of life. Join me. God is my source. I experience the sacredness of life. What a beautiful thing to be experiencing. Again. God is my source. I experience the sacredness of life. The scary, the funny, the magic, the magnificent. Again, God is my source. I experience the sacredness of life. And when we touch that, when we know that, as we walk through our life with each moment, each experience being sacred, what we find in its simplest is that all of life is incredibly beautiful. Bless you.